Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And next, we're also brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGPNMMA and to receive a free athlete share when you make your first deposit of $20 and more. And before you get to this episode today, make sure to download the SGPN app because it is your home for all of our free picks, news, podcasts. It's right there in the palm of your hand, but only when you download it wherever it is you download apps.
Yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 83. This one's going to go out to UFC 83, because there's no other 83s I can find. More on that event later when I after I introduce my co-host, because I'll give him some trivia on UFC 83. Like I said, hi-de-ho, and thank you for coming to the podcast. I would be Jeff Fox, your host. Welcome. Thank you for coming to the podcast. Thank you for subscribing to the MMA Gambling Podcast. Because that way you're ensuring that you're getting this the second that we drop it. The SGPN feed, we go out on there still, but we're a day or so later on that because we have so much amazing content that gets pumped out on there that they have to split stuff up. So if you want these picks immediately, which especially with our Contender Series picks, you definitely are going to need them immediately because those lines go crazy very quickly. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. All right, this is the podcast that does not need long introductions any longer because we're so jam-packed with content now. That'll probably change in a couple weeks because the Contender Series will be over and we'll have to kill some time, so I'll ramble more at the start. But for this week, or this episode, let's just get right to my co-host. Some people call him the Danimal. Some people call him the prettiest purple belt on the planet. Some people call him Gumby. Some people call him Gumbo. Some people call him son of Ichabod, the Bear Whisperer. I have a new nickname for him. It's Mr. 80% is his new name. because he is the Dana White Contender Series soothsayer. I forgot to tell you, my nickname is Tina Black, and nice to meet you all. And I introduce you to what his parents named, and that would be Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. 80% very damn well should have been Mr. 100% this past weekend.
Dan got robbed. He got robbed. But before that, I'm going to quiz you on UFC 83, which is this podcast is being dedicated to. It was the first UFC event in Canada. Did you know that, Dan?
Yeah, I did. It's GSP Sierra 2, correct?
It was. Yes, yeah. Correct. GSP avenged the loss in Montreal in his home region and got the belt back from off that dirty American, Matt Serra. Is there anything else? Oh, someone, a future Hall of Famer, made his debut at this event. Do you know who that would have been? He was second fight of the night.
Future Hall of Famer, UFC 83. So he's not currently a Hall of Famer?
I don't believe so, no. He is wanted it, to be a TKO
Is it John
punches.
Jones?
No. TKO punches against Brad Morris, who I've never heard of.
Brad Morris. So that's Brad Morris is a big dude, right? 205er or heavyweight?
I don't know.
Am I right about that? I hate to
yes,
I'm
right
about
that.
Fuck yes.
You are.
Future heavy or future Hall of Famer.
Future luchador.
Future loot. Oh, Cain Velasquez?
Yes, Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, I was right. Brad was a big
guy. They were. I don't know Brad Morris. So, yeah. So, he fought on this event, made his debut.
His only second pro fight, if I'm not mistaken. He was 1-0 when the UFC signed him.
That's wild. Wild. So, yeah, that was in the Bell Center in Montreal. The fans went home happy because George St. Pierre got his belt back from Matt Serra. The fans, but we can't get too greedy, but we went home happy after last day's contender series, right? Because you went 4-1. You can't sneeze at that again. Even though you did get robbed, you went 4-1.
Well, and, you know, I wouldn't say it's much of a robbery either. Like, I didn't give Johnny Parsons both the second and the third. I think I was kind of half watching because I was, you know, spoiler alert, watching the Braves again. I guess appeared on a podcast because I apparently don't show up to enough podcasts or any. I was like half watching, half not watching. And I did give, I believe, round two to Solomon Renfro. Round one was a dominant Solomon Renfro round, maybe even a 10-8 Solomon Renfro round. In my opinion, when it went to the judges' scorecards, I was expecting, first of all, that he would win. And second of all, if he didn't, that it was a draw. So for Parsons to win, I was a little bit surprised. But yeah, like we can't be upset, especially if you listened in on Sunday when this first hit the airwaves. The lines were in a place where you could have still made a ton of money. But if you bet right before this event started, you were making mere pocket change. Because I can't remember what we had quoted Kai Bahio at. I think we had him in the three.
I got it here somewhere.
It was
Kai
like,
Bahio was minus 200.
Minus 200. And he was a -1,000 at time of fight. His number went up by negative 800. So yeah, like if you got in when we gave you the numbers right away, like you listened to it the minute we sent it to you, there was a lot of money to be won. I mean, Armin Petrosian, who, by the way, we had and won, we had him in
plus
the dog.
+235.
Yeah, we had
plus two, a big one, too.
Yeah, and I think he wound up negative 130. He got that down. I think people finally got the film on Kolev and gave up. Barnes looked as bad as I thought he would, as a 39-year-old dude on the Contender Series. Rodriguez won nicely over Tina Black. Your namesake. So
my namesake. Yeah.
all together, it was a good one. You know, and I don't mind going. You're right. I don't mind going 4 out of 5 on any fight card because MMA is so unpredictable. 4 out of 5, even when you're super sure about a lot of them, is a great night.
Plus, Johnny Parsons is a friend of the Top Turtle MMA podcast, right?
But we won't talk about the other guy who was on that fight card, who is a friend of the Top Turtle MMA podcast. that friend maybe lasted 101 seconds.
Yes.
And looked worse than anybody else on the card, including the aforementioned James Barnes, who I did not have particularly nice things to say about. So a question for you, after watching Kai Bahio twice, I'm assuming you watched more intensely than I did. Did you like him better at 205? I actually think he looked better there.
Yeah, well, obviously the power translated up to 205 because he actually got a finish this time. So that's a positive. I'm fine with him at either way. Whatever he's most comfortable at, obviously. If cutting to middleweights hurt his performance, then by all means, stay at 205 for sure. Because he definitely looked explosive last night.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, some of it's the opponent too, right? Like they made him fight Aaron Jeffrey at 85, which is a tougher weight cut and a better opponent. Then they might make him fight Jesse Murray, who, you know, I like Jesse Murray, but like clearly not the same level as Aaron Jeffrey. At an easier weight cut, and you know, maybe he looked better for that reason, but he seemed like he looked faster and more powerful, and you know, it's like we've been saying for years and years, like it's a bad idea to cut a ton of weight, and I think I'd really like his karate style at 205 too. I think it matches up with a lot of dudes in that weight class in a weird enough way. You know, I've compared him in both breakdowns to Machida. I think that, you know, at least the style portion of that holds up.
The Baha'io era is upon us. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. And
do you remember how quickly the Machida era?
Yes, I do. Because I was a fan. Yeah, it did not last.
It lasted one not correctly judged decision. And then immediately that course was corrected. That was back in the era where like one light heavyweight title defense was a ton, though.
It's true.
Because did Rashad Evans never defend it?
Didn't he beat? Well, Rampage wasn't for a belt. That was just for
Pride. That was for funsies.
And it still sold over a million. It was one of the highest selling pay per views ever, which is crazy.
That
was
pretty
much a one fight card, and it wasn't for a belt. But
he didn't defend it. I don't think Forrest ever defended it. I don't think Rampage ever defended it.
Which like, is why like, John it Jones like, is the best.
Yeah, it was like a really bad run of dudes just like stealing the belt from one another. Shogun never defended it. I mean, unless you count the fact that he should have beat Machida the first time. So,
yep.
Yeah, weird run.
It was. And that's our first segue of the – not segue, our first meandering off the path of the day, right? When we were talking about light heavyweights out of the blue. More talk on weight cutting not being good for you later on because there's breaking news coming through. All right, anything else I want to say about last night? Let me see. Do you agree with all the people who got contracts last night? So basically everybody got – every winner got it except Falcao or Falcao.
I mean, I agree with Falcao not getting it. He didn't look as dominant as I wanted him to early in that fight, and the finish was nice. I mean, Bohio I thought should have gotten it the first time. Petrosian, yeah. It's weird for me on Petrosian because I think he fought a guy who people were saying was a good grappler, and I don't actually think he was. And I mean, he out kickboxed him, which you knew he was going to do anyway. You look great in his kickboxing, but I'm a little bit worried about what holes he has. And 205 has got some dudes who can wrestle a little bit, right? Like, if you're thinking, of guys up there, you know, if he gets towards the edge of the top 15, and not saying he's going to do that, but, you know, it's going to take some time before he gets that. But the likes of Jimmy Crute and, well, I guess Misha Serkinov's not up there anymore, but the Jimmy Crutes of the world are going to pummel a dude like that. And, yeah, maybe he's a few wins away, but he's probably older than Jimmy Crute.
Yep. Yeah, he definitely has some holes. I was thinking he may not have gotten a contract, but...
And he's an exciting kickboxer, so they automatically go for it. Yeah. I knew whoever won that main event was going to get a contract. In fact, I said that.
I was thinking they both might have gotten it as the fight was progressing because Renfrew looked so good at the start. I guess his activity just died off way too much for that to be a possibility. But I was thinking they may want to pick up them both because Renfrew is the one that looks like the possible future star.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, too, Renfrew is a little bit younger.
6 years younger, so a lot,
Yeah, so 6 years younger. I think you'll probably see him go to CFFC and, like, win a couple more fights there. And then just get signed right to the UFC, not even have to worry about Contender Series again. He'll just be, he'll be like one of these late replacements we're about to talk about on UFC Vegas 41. It's just like a natural progression for a dude who's as skilled as he is.
Yeah, and Johnny Parsons is a fun weird. Also, it's good that he got signed up.
Yeah. You gotta love a dude with a mullet, right?
Yeah,
he looks almost awesomely Canadian.
He does. He looks like a Jedi Padawan. They have those like those rat tail type things in the back, don't they? I believe for my Star Wars viewing days. All right. Anybody you think from last night who has a real bright future in the UFC, or are we just talking about middling prospects at this point, or is anybody really potentially a future star?
No, I think I said it even before the event started. I wasn't particularly high on anybody who was on that show. I think Ohio's got a future, especially if he looks better at 205 than he did at 185. But I mean, he beat Aaron Jeffrey, who's a guy who I thought already belonged in the UFC in his own right. So, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn saying like it'd be exciting. You know, Bohio is an exciting up and comer.
Yep, very true. All right, quick peek at next week, week 9. We got, what, 6 fights. So what are you going to do, get 1.5 wrong? How are you gonna,
no, no.
How are you
we
1.2 wrong?
We had a 6-fight right. We had a 6-fight one before, and I got 5 out of 6 right. My
so
rule
what,
is 20... I just get one wrong no matter what.
Yeah, so you're 24-6 now?
Yeah, because we also had a 4-fight one, and I got one wrong. I went 3-1 in that one, so it all evens out. There's some exciting ones on this fight card too. I don't have to get too deep into that because we're
no.
Obviously
just who should people get in on, or who should they get on? Sorry, to interrupt. We had a lag there. Who should they get on early if they're booked post lines soon? Who should people jump on?
I'm a big fan of Javid Basharat. He was supposed to fight earlier in the season. And I was real jacked up to see him fight early in the season. He was supposed to fight that Simon Oliveira, who wound up getting a contract, Simon Oliveira. He's the one who beat Jose Aldo by split decision. It was kind of a bad decision. I think he got a contract anyway.
Probably.
But
everyone
but,
did.
Like,
started.
Yeah, back in the beginning. But Javid Basharat, very fun striker. So somebody to keep an eye on there is Basharat. So that's one that I would keep an eye out for if they post an early line. But the rest of them, I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve here for me on this week. This week's going to be a little bit of a tricky one because there's a lot of people coming from the Performance Institute in China, and they have been notoriously hard for me to break down.
Yes, yeah, but we had issues when they fought in the UFC a few months back, but
yeah,
whatever it was,
part,
yeah.
The first big live one with Weili Zhang on it.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks are a lot of Chinese fighters, so it could be, actually, this could be your, you could get the edge, Dan, because you know about every fighter in every organization, so right now you're saying Javid Basharat a Chinese fighter or not?
No, Javid Basharat is Afghani, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And that's going to be terrible if I'm not correct about that.
He's Middle Eastern, how about we'll say.
Yeah.
He's not Asian.
He's actually from Afghanistan, that's correct.
Oh, good job.
He trains out of, it says here, England. So he trains out of England, but he is originally from Afghanistan.
All right, and the Gens are going to want to know what is a good line to get him at against Oren Kalan.
I'll be real honest. I don't know a lot about Oren Kalan right away. So while I'm saying that this is a good guy to keep an eye on, and we want to make sure that we might be one of the first ones in on him, I actually feel like I need to do a little bit more research on him before I feel real comfortable taking him, because his opponent is a guy with a really good record against guys who I've mostly never heard of, and that sometimes plays up. I'll see a little footage on him, but I have not actually seen that guy fight before, which is pretty rare.
Whoa, really? That is very rare. You're going to have to fix that.
Yeah, it's similar. I will say, too, and not to scare people off of my picks for this upcoming Sunday, but that is true of all but one of the Chinese prospects too, and I've just like sort of seen them in passing. So
you're gonna have to fix that, Dan.
Yeah, for sure.
You're gonna fix that. You're gonna fix that. All right. So no one else though. Super Fan Zhang.
That's the big one. That's the big one to keep an eye on. And then just maybe make sure you subscribe to the MMA gambling specific feed so that you can get my picks as quickly as I send them out.
And make sure you get into our SGPN Slack, because that's where a lot of this deciding who to pick and whatnot among the degens go down there with a super fan, Zhang Li, and the bunch. They had another good night last night. I think a lot of them had, or at least Zhang had, a lot was riding on that main event, which did not go the right way. So it may not have been a totally happy night for everyone there. But let's try to make Saturday, coming up a happy, I guess it's not a night card, it's an afternoon card. Happy afternoon. Before we get to the breakdown for, actually, this fight card's a little better than the past 2 weeks' cards, actually.
This one's good.
Like,
this one's
kind of like
good.
The last 2 weeks' cards combined, and we just took the best off the last. This one's slightly above average, which is saying a lot compared to what we've sat through. So, but it's not without its drama, so who knows? If something happens to that top fight, then we're in trouble again, so. But before we get to that, let's tell you about WynnBET. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get to know your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. Check this out. New users can bet $1 and win $100 in any sport. Plus, you can get up to $1,500, that's 1500, as a free bet on WynnBET if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WynnBET will match it 200%. So, for example, I'll do the math for you here. If you bet $100, you'll get a $200 free bet. That's pretty darn good. Max wager is $750, and they will match it for $1,500. So, all right, Dan, what are you going to use one of these bonuses on? You going to bet on your Braves? What would you use it on?
We don't talk about the Braves. Let's you know, it's opening night for basketball at the time of us recording this, which obviously after I say that some of the picks I like for basketball tonight, they will no longer be real ones. Right. But I like the Bulls -6.
Okay, who are they playing tonight?
They're playing the Pistons. I don't know, you know, so I was a 90s bandwagon fan, which is why I'm an Atlanta Braves fan and a Dallas Cowboys fan. But if you look at the Bulls in 2021, which is no longer their Michael Jordan Bulls, and they've been lowly and pathetic for a good amount of years, they actually put together a pretty freaking good team. Yep. DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, Lonzo Ball is now a freaking Bull. It's pretty exciting, and even Alex Caruso looks really good. So I'm excited to see I'm excited to see the Bulls be decent again.
No, I like that pick because Detroit's garbage. Plus, plus the number one draft pick. I saw headlines he's not going to play tonight, Cade Cunningham. So that's
perfect timing.
All right, so go to WynnBET, do that. Get great promos, odds, and payouts happening right now at WynnBET. For boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. Let's tell you about one more awesome place that we're sponsored by, PropSwap. We are brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. MLB playoffs are in full swing, and PropSwap is your home for the best World Series futures, but we're not going to talk about that because it's bad luck, apparently. All season long, prop swappers have been finding the best odds in the country because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and prop swap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using prop swap. Every ticket purchased on prop swap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on prop swap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, let's get on to the event. We've got UFC Fight Night, Costa versus Vittori. We'll call it UFC Vegas 51 will be coming soon enough, though. So we got, as of now, we may as well get right to the controversy before we actually break down fights. Right now, we got Paulo Costa versus Marvin Vettori in a middleweight fight. That's headlining the main card out of the UFC Apex, 4 o'clock Eastern starting time for the main card on ESPN Plus. Prelims, 1 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Plus also. We won't break down this fight right out of the gate, but Paulo Costa apparently weighs 211 pounds as of Wednesday night. He weighs in what, less than 2 days now, right? Friday morning, he's supposed to be 185 pounds. What's going on with Paulo Costa, Dan?
I think, so this is a hot take. I think he thinks this is the right way to promote himself by being just a little off kilter and doing nutty things. I mean, like Nick Diaz did this how many weeks ago, right? 2 or 3 weeks ago, and everybody was all on it. And I think he's just nutty enough to think like, oh, it must have been coming in above weight and just saying, whatever, we'll do a catch weight that makes Nick Diaz so popular. Because he just seems crazy enough to do that. Because, like, I mean, go back to his loss to Israel Adesanya when he said that he chugged a bottle of wine the night before. Yeah. And, like,
Well, it works for John Jones, right?
I don't know if John Jones was drunk the night before a fight. But, like, either Paulo Costa did that and is batshit crazy. Right? Like, that's option A. Option B is somehow he thinks this is good marketing. And you know what I'll say? Me and you were talking about it. Like we're talking about both of those controversies. So he may not be the most wrong person. However, I would say this is not a good move if your real goal is a second shot at Israel Adesanya. Yeah. Because there ain't no way you come in at 195 for a 185 fight. They're turning around and giving you a 185-pound title fight.
Yeah, especially the way he's been acting, too. And, like, yeah, he hasn't been making himself look so hot. So
now, his Twitter is wild, man. His Twitter is so fun.
It's not like he's endeared himself to the UFC brass, and they feel like, you know, this is a guy we want to get behind and give another shot, and the fans are going to get behind because it's probably the opposite case. So as of now, Vittori, Angry Marvin says he will take
Angry
the fight
Marvin.
At any weight, but like I would be like, no, it's okay. We'll fight at middleweight or no weight. Thank you. And call his bluff and make him at least work hard to cut for the next couple of days. And then when it gets to actually weigh-in time, then you can, you know, if you're still willing to fight him, then you can worry about it then. But we'll break down that fight when we get to it. It's, we just thought instead of bearing the lead, we would get that off our chests right at the top. And hey, it could change by the time we finish recording here too. So who knows? All right. So UFC Vegas 41, we just had a fight added. I assume it's going to be the curtain jerker. We'll at least break it down first as it is. And it is a bantamweight fight, men's bantamweight. Imagine that, a bantamweight fight. Jonathan Martinez was versus TBD, was his opponent for quite a long time. TBD, first Alan Patrick pulled out just fairly recently, a few days ago. And so then he was going to fight TBD.
Alan Patrick was supposed to fight Mason Jones. Aaron Phillips was supposed to fight Jonathan Martinez. And by the way, yes. Jonathan Martinez is a fill-in for Chris Moutinho, who was supposed to fight Aaron Phillips. Yes.
It's true. So Martinez was set up to fight TBD, which I thought was going to be a good fight. I heard a lot of good things about TBD, but now TBD is pulled out also, and he's been replaced by a newcomer, right? And the newcomer's name is Ziad Lavishvili, correct?
Lavishvili, yes.
Lavishvili. And the first name is Z-V-A-I-D, because name me one other word that starts with a Z and a V, Dan. Are you good at Scrabble?
I am good at Scrabble, but that is not a thing I know off the top of my head. Yeah.
No.
Lavishvili is a great Georgian name.
It is. Yes. And he's from Atlanta, Georgia. Correct.
Yeah.
he's a Braves fan. So do you know much about him before I start?
I know about him. Yeah. I've seen him fight half a dozen times already.
Wow.
And he was supposed to make his debut against Jack Shore too. He was supposed to fight all the way back in September. So I think I watched even more of him back then.
To fight, and then he got cut, right? Because he had some health issue, I think, and they said, "Oh, forget it." I think is what happened with him.
Yeah. So there was a report that he got cut, but I heard that report disputed in a bunch of places that he had not ever actually been cut, and he was instead still on the roster and was still going to get another fight. So I heard, you know, one source said he had been cut, another source said that he's always been on the roster. So I kind of always thought he was, you know, sort of a prime choice for like a late replacement like this.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter whether he was on the roster or not. Who cares? It's not like he wasn't making any money either way. So, but now he's actually fighting. 3 days' notice as of today, Wednesday, he stepped in for this fight. He looks a little bit like the artist formerly known as Rusev. Now he's known as Miro. Now I look at his face. Do you know that wrestler, Dan?
I think that's after.
That's right. Career. You grew up. He's a new guy, and you've grown up. I forgot. You have more important things to do. You have to watch Georgian MMA in your spare time. So
everybody should be watching Georgian MMA. If you're watching MMA from anywhere, you should be watching it from fucking Georgia.
It's true. That's hardcore. All right. 3 days' notice is UFC debut. His record's even like I've seen it at 12-0 in multiple places, and like Tapology is we'll go with, but sure not going. He has been 8-0. Looks like a lot of his fights are against like people with no records or people have never heard of before. But apparently he's 12-0. I'm going to go with what Tapology says, with 9 submissions. So we know the way he's looking to win fights. This is his debut. He last fought September 2020 In that fight, he won the LFA championship, bantamweight championship, via submission. Imagine that, which is impressive because LFA, as we said before, is probably the top feeder organization for the UFC, or the top regional promotion. And he is going up against Mr. Jonathan Martinez, who is known as the Dragon. He's 13-4 with 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's 4-3 in the UFC. I don't think he's been submitted very often, because I did mark down a bunch of submission losses for him. Let me check now that I know Zavalishvili is such a submission dude. He has been submitted never a clock, so 0.0 times. So that's something to keep in mind when you break down this fight. So like I said, 4-3 in the UFC. He lost via knockout his last fight. However, that was his first loss in his last three. He's gone 2-1. He used to fight at bantamweight. Featherweight. He also used to fight at flyweight. This is right in the middle of two. This is at bantamweight. He's missed weight in the past. He's got 2 inches of height, 1 inch of reach, 3 years younger. No odds have been posted for this yet because it's such a fresh fight that no place has posted odds for it yet. I'm leaning Martinez, unless Dan has a lot of good things to say about Lasvili, just because 3 days' notice is quite a task, and fighters coming in on short notice have only won 39% of the time over the past 2 years. So I'm going with my stats here, unless Dan can convince me either to ignore the stats and go with my gut and go with what Dan says.
I'm going to go with Lazovic.
Really? What's his name?
Lazishvili.
There you go.
I'm going to go with Lazishvili, mostly because, man, you can't even just switch to his first name because it's twice as hard.
I know.
I'm going to go with the Georgian. The reason I'm going to go with the Georgian is, you know, very, very typical to what you imagine from most Georgian MMA fighters. Although, I guess, they've kind of come in with a diverse set of skills, right? Leah Tapuria is more of a striker and a danger there, and Roman Dolidze is a big power puncher. But, like, he reminds me more of Merab Dzhivalishvili than any of those guys. He's got really good wrestling. That fight he won for the LFA title was over Ricky Steele, which is a name people should know, because Ricky Steele, first of all, won a fight on the Ultimate Fighter, but then was taken off of that season due to an injury. He then got a fight on the Contender Series and won that as well. But people didn't think he looked good enough in it. He won a split decision. So he has wins on the Contender Series, on the Ultimate Fighter, including on the Ultimate Fighter against a guy who wound up in the UFC and Suleiman Mokhtarian. So he beat a really good opponent, and he did it with his wrestling. I was really impressed with him in that fight. And the thing I will say about Jonathan Martinez, too, is that seems to be an issue for him, or has been in the past. Not that he gets taken down at will, but, like, if you go back to his first UFC fight, he lost to Andre Sukumta, who took him down 3 times. And, like, that dude's a kickboxer, right? And he's no longer in the UFC. You go back to Frankie Saenz. He did beat Frankie Saenz with a knee, but he did also get taken down by Frankie Saenz, who is a decent wrestler too. So, like, he got taken down 3 times by, you know, Luigi Buren, who's a Chinese fighter who, you know, pretty decent grappler, but not on the level of Lazishvili. So I think I'm going to go with Lazishvili. I will be interested to see where these odds get posted, because, like you said, Jonathan Martinez was a huge favorite over Aaron Phillips. That one was, you know, inching towards -400. So I'll be interested to see where it gets posted. But especially if I see a plus number against Lazishvili, I'm going to go with him.
All right. I'm going to tell you on this, because everything you said sounds good. And it's true. Martinez does not have the best wrestling. I got a line, Dan. I was going to ask you, where do you think the line's going to come? And I got a line. What do you think the line is?
I'm going to say that Martinez comes in as a slight favorite, but smaller than the favorite he was going to be against Aaron Phillips, who I don't think is particularly good. I'll say Jonathan Martinez, -170.
Sadly, no, Dan. We're getting -195 for our man, Lazishvili.
Oh, so Martinez is +160. I actually just picked a huge favorite. Oh, look at that.
You did. Yeah, way to go, Dan. I thought we were getting underdog money, but no.
Yeah, I was hoping we were getting underdog money, because I think it would have been a steal. Yeah. Because I think the books got this one right.
Well, that's good, though. Usually the books are correct. So, what, 67% the favorites are winning? So, we will take the favorite here. All right, on. We got a Canadian. Canadian alert. How long she'll be in the UFC after this, though, I'm not sure. Women's strawweight, Livia Renata Souza versus the Canadian, Iraqi-Canadian, Randa Marcos. We got the Brazilian gangster versus Quiet Storm. All right. Let's go Quiet Storm. Listen to this record of hers. 10-11-1. With four submissions. Her UFC record, even better. 6-10-1 in the UFC. 0-4 over her last four. 1-5 over her last six. She was in the Ultimate Fighter where she went 2-1. She has missed weight in the past. She's an inch taller than Souza. More active strikers, meaning that she lands more strikes on average per fight than Souza does. She's at plus 105. The Brazilian gangster, 14-3, two knockouts, eight submissions, 3-2 in the UFC. She lost via TKO last fight. She's got loss, win, loss over her last three. So she's due for a win. She was in Invicta, the top women's promotion other than the UFC, where she went 4-1 and was the champion. She also has multiple regional championships in her native Brazil before going to the big time. 6 years younger, grappling stats in her favor, which is a big thing because Marcos relies on wrestling mostly. Minus 139, I will be taking chalk here, and I will be going against my fellow Canadian.
Yeah, give me Souza. This one's not even worth talking about very long. Like, she needs a clear wrestling advantage in a fight to win. She doesn't have it.
Not have it. Nope.
She does not have it. So there it is. There's your breakdown. This is a long fight card and laboring the point on the Souza stuffing. She's going to stuff 12 straight takedowns and then just blister Randa Marcos' face, win a very ugly one-sided decision.
Yeah, Randa Marcos is one of those faces that get damaged very easily too, so it could get ugly, unfortunately. Yeah, and that's a good line, minus 139. I'm liking that all day long for Souza. All right, before we go on, let me tell you about Keeps. Is your child comparing you to who are you comparing me to again?
Shamir
Abdul-Rahimov. Do you get stopped in the street by people thinking that you're Alexei Oleinik? Does that ever happen to you, Dan?
No.
Well, it happens to me all the time. Yeah. Which means Keeps is probably something I want to pay attention to here, because Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. That's a good name for it, Keeps. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions. Discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. Hear that, Dan? Act fast. You may not be going bald yet, Dan, but you may in 4 to 6 months. So come on. Is there a history in your family? Will you go bald, Dan, like the rest of us?
I think one of my grandpas was balding, not bald. But like, no, mostly just like thick heads of hair on the side. We go gray very early. You know, I'm in my early 30s and I'm... The sides are getting pretty bright here.
But you shouldn't have had kids.
No hair loss, man. No hair loss.
Good. You shouldn't have had kids if you didn't want gray hair, though. Come on. That's everybody knows that. All right. So that's Dan's another thing he's lucky at. He does not lose his hair. But if you're not as lucky as Dan, Keeps. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/SGP to get your first month free. KEEPS.com/SGP. All right, enough spelling. Let's talk about more fisticuffs. We'll move on to flyweights. Jeff Molina, or Jeffrey Molino, if you rather. He goes by both. Versus Daniel Lacerda. We got El Jefe for Jeff Molina. I'm thinking that may have to be my new nickname that I steal, me being the nickname Nabber. El Jefe would be a very good nickname for me.
Yeah, I think I like Daniel Lacerda's better for you.
Daniel Lacerda's is Miojo, which means
ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles, which I do love ramen. So, yeah, either of those would be good. Ramen noodles is a fantastic nickname.
That's the best nickname in MMA right now.
Where's he from? What language is that?
That's Portuguese.
He's Brazilian. All right. Yeah. That's funny. Do you know why he's called ramen noodle?
I don't. I want to know so bad.
Get him on the podcast, Dan. Come on.
We'll work on it. Daniel Lacerda, right. Get at me.
All right. He is 11-1. 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. So everything is a finish in his pro record up to this date. This will be his UFC debut. He's won three straight fights. He's at plus 145. El Jefe, 9-2, three knockouts, four submissions, 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 contender series. He's won eight straight fights. He's a year younger. He's minus 186. I'll let you go first. I haven't seen Lacerda. Tell me about ramen noodles.
I love ramen noodles, not the actual food. I'm actually not a ramen guy, as long as we're being real honest. But I do like the fighter. Lacerda, really fun. A lot of very high-powered and high-speed kicks. He's a guy who throws, like, with almost, like, no wind-up whatsoever, which is really fun to watch, especially at flyweight. He has, like, sneaky good jiu-jitsu, too, which people, I think, sleep on, because while you mentioned all of those submission wins, like, once you see him kick, you're going to remember him kicking, and you're going to forget that he's got, like, a damn good double-leg takedown and some, like, real good jiu-jitsu. So I think, actually, he's a really fun guy for them to have signed into the flyweight division. He really feels like a guy they would have put on Contender Series, but instead they hired him straight to the UFC, and actually – that only loss that you mentioned was because he hurt his shoulder in a takedown. It wasn't actually like a real deal loss. Like he was better than that guy, probably would have beat the hell out of that guy. Just hurt his shoulder, I believe, shooting his own takedown, which is obviously not good. But, yeah, he's super fun to watch. And he's only 25, which is real young, especially that flyweight division could use a couple of young and up-and-comers. Not that Molina isn't also
that. All right, so what's your pick?
I think I'm going to go with Lacerda. I like the newcomer. I think he's fun enough striking. Like Molina has got that like James Krause style that's really exciting to watch, but I just think he's a touch slower than Lacerda, and I think if he does try to go to the wrestling game plan, I like the jiu-jitsu of Lacerda better too, because Molina can wrestle a little bit, which I think people forget too, but I think the jiu-jitsu of Lacerda worries me if he does try to do that.
All right, I'm going to take Molina. I'll go with the known quantity, and we shall see. So Dan's always going out on a limb for the dogs. So
this card you're going to get me. Yeah. You're going to get me in on some dogs.
All right, good, because dogs came back full force last week. Half the wins were via dogs. All right, so moving to lightweights, Kama Worthy. Jai Herbert, we got the Death Star, Kama Worthy, versus the Black Country Banger, Jai Herbert. Wasn't Herbert on the Top Turtle podcast?
Herbert and Kama Worthy have both been on the Top Turtle podcast. Yeah.
Anybody else we've been through?
Jeff Molina has been on there. Random Marcos has been on there. Jonathan Martinez has been on there. So at least one person in every fight so far.
Oh, boy. And I picked some of them, too. Yikes. All right, let's see how we do here. The Death Star would do first, Kama Worthy. 16-8, nine knockouts, three submissions. He's been knocked out himself seven times. That's a little scary. Seven out of his eight losses come via knockout. 2-2 in the UFC. He's been knocked out or TKO'd in his last two fights. He was the 24-7 and the SOFC champ. Do you know either of those promotions, Dan?
Say,
24-7.
Yeah, it's actually not 24/7. It's 247, if I'm not mistaken, because that's the area code for Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I only know about that one because I think the media guy for that MMA organization now is Hunter Homestick, who used to be my editor at a previous website I worked for. I think he does media for them now. So, if I'm not mistaken, 247 is Pittsburgh's area code.
Okay. Do you know SOFC, whatever that's
called? I don't know that one.
Wow.
No, I'm not familiar with.
Anyhow, he was a champ in both of those. He used to fight at bantamweight. This one is way up at lightweight. Striking stats in his favor, plus he lands three times more strikes than Herbert. Grappling stats also in his favor, plus 142. Herbert, the Black Country Banger, 10-3 with eight knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out himself twice, so two out of his three losses come via knockout. He's 0-2 in the UFC, got finished in both fights, TKO and a submission, I believe. He was the Cage Warriors champion. I have heard of that promotion over in the UK. That's a fairly big one, so good for him. 2 inches of height, 3 inches of reach, 2 years younger, minus 180. I'm going Death Star. I want the plus 142 in this fight.
I'm going Death Star, too. Yeah, this is another underdog I really like. part of the reason why both guys being big punchers, for me, the difference maker in here, you know, both guys have been knocked out. You know, Kama Worthy by Jamie Mullarkey and Atman Aziatar, who are a little bit more you think of as knockout guys. Jai Herbert got knocked out by Francisco Trinaldo. That, to me, already a little alarming, because that dude doesn't knock anybody out, really. And the thing about this, too, is that the way that they start fights, Jai Herbert does a lot of, like, he does this thing where he'll throw his jab out, but he'll leave his arm out there just to kind of, like, measure how far you are away. And to me, that just reads, you're about to get fucking blitzed by Kama Worthy and popped on the chin. And when Kama Worthy does that early in fights, I mean, he turns people's lights off. That's how he beat Devontae Smith, who, you know, for my money, Devontae Smith is a better fighter than Kama Worthy. You know, that's how he did it. So I guess we'll see. I think this is an interesting one, especially with two guys who seem to be fighting for their jobs on losing streaks right here. But yeah. I think Worthy's got a little bit more power and a little bit more danger here. It is a little bit faster of a starter.
So we agree that he's a worthy underdog pick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he should have done a Star Wars pun. I think he has the Force in his hands, you know?
Does he? There you go. See, Dan's a dad, too. He's got the dad jokes. Remember a few episodes back when I made you laugh for real?
It's not that I don't laugh sometimes, but it like took me a second to get whatever one you had said, and then I was like, oh, fuck, that actually got me. Yeah.
Yes, it was a good one. All right, middleweight, Jamie Pickett, Laureano Staropoli. Staropoli is an El Matador. I think that translates to the Matador, possibly.
It doesn't.
Wow. He's also known as Pepe. He should just put those together. Pepe El Matador could be a nickname.
I think I just like Pepe.
Yeah, that's good. And the Pickett's the Night Wolf, which I don't really like. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, and it's kind of seems like you're trying too hard, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a serial killer would have a name like that, right?
Yeah.
The Night Wolf, yeah. All right, Pickett, 11-6 with 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 0-2 in the UFC. This is the guy who Dan besmirched the other episode, who took three kicks at the can on Dana White Contender Series before he actually got hired. He was 1-2 on the Contender Series. He's an inch shorter than Stropperly. He's got 9 inches of reach, which, not tipping my hand here, but that makes me a little nervous. Grappling stats in the favor, +195. Pepe the Matador is 9-4 with 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, 2-3 in the UFC. He's lost 3 straight fights. That also gives me pause after winning his first 2. He used to fight at welterweight. What did I say this one's out? Middleweight? Yeah, middleweight. He's missed weight in the past, which probably explains why he's at middleweight now. 5 years younger than Pickett. Striking and active striking in his favor, -250. I'm leaning for the chalk here. Make me feel good about it, Dan.
Yeah, I think you do lean to the chalk here. There's a lot of issues with Jamie Pickett for me. The biggest one is if you look at when he did finally get that contract in the Contender Series against Jonathan Potty, the combinations that he throws are basically like his hands retract only to his shoulders and only to throw another punch. They never go back to his chin to protect his face. And Staropoli throws mean counters. Like he hits people with mean counters. And the other thing is he won't just back up if Pickett throws one of those blitzes. He's going to hold his ground and just smoke him. So not only am I picking Staropoli, I actually think this one ends pretty damn quick.
Ooh, are we saying a prop bet perhaps? A knockout is what you're saying, Dan?
You will have to stay tuned to the end of the show, and then I will tell you all the prop bets.
So I have to stick around. Damn it. All right, I guess I'll have to stick around now. Let's move on. Women's strawweight, Tabitha Ricci versus Maria de Oliveira Nita. But I think she just goes by Oliveira as her last name. She is the Spider Girl, and Ricci is the Baby Shark. I just read an article about Ricci today on MMA-Manifesto.com. So may have swayed my pick. No, actually, I already have my pick decided. But regardless, we got Baby Shark versus Spider Girl. Let's go Spider Girl Oliveira first. This will be her UFC debut. She's 12-4 with 7 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been submitted twice, so half of her losses have come via submission. 0-1 in the Contender Series, 1-1 in Ryzen over in Japan. 4 inches of height, 8 inches of reach, 1 year younger, +185. The Baby Shark is 5-1 with 1 knockout, 2 submissions. I think I sang Baby Shark last time. I don't feel like it this time. So.
Appreciate it.
Yep, she's 0-1. In the UFC, she got TKO'd. So that was by some no-name named Manon Fiorot, and I think it was on short notice too, correct?
And up a weight class.
Yeah, and upper weight class. Yes, she used to fight upper weight class. This is at strawweight. That was at flyweight. She's minus 240. Richie's the obvious pick here, right? Despite the big size gap we got.
You know, I actually, this is one of the ones I flip-flopped back and forth multiple times over the course of this week. I was originally real in on Ricci, both because she was on Top Turtle, which always helps me guide my pick towards that person, but also because she's a judo black belt and a jiu-jitsu black belt. She's a very good grappler. But the more and more I've watched of Maria Oliveira, because I had just watched her Contender Series fight, which was against Marina Rodriguez, which is a fucking very hard way to judge any strawweight in the world, especially one who's not currently in the UFC. And she actually had her moments in that fight where her striking looked like it was holding up. Then she got, like, double leg takedown, which I don't think she was expecting Marina Rodriguez to do. And I just kind of wrote it off. She must have shitty takedown defense, right, if Marina Rodriguez took her down. But I think it was more the element of surprise. And then I went back and looked at a lot of her other fights, and her takedown defense is pretty good. Her reach is – she uses her reach kind of well. Man, the more and more I've watched her, the more and more I like Maria Oliveira. And I will say this, while I was originally way in on Tabitha Ricci early in the week, the more the odds keep wandering in the opposite direction, because the bets keep coming in on Tabitha Ricci. That's the scary thing, too.
Yeah.
The more and more I think about it, if I have $100 and I have to stick it on this fight, I'm putting it on Maria Oliveira. I think she's the right place to put $100.
So the article you wrote for my website is a bunch of garbage, is what you're
it
saying.
It is now, yeah. Look, I flip-flop once in a while, and there's only a few people who read everything I write and listen to everything I say. You happen to be one of them, so you get to see the contradictions that go on in my mind.
Yes. All right. I'll stick with Ricci. I have to back my. So we got another one. Dan's going in all in on another dog. He warned us in advance.
You're hating on the. Oh no, I guess she's Brazilian too. I was gonna say you're hating on the Brazilians because you didn't take Lacerda. But then again, you did take Souza and Ricci's Brazilian as well. So I guess maybe you're not.
There you go.
Brazilians.
There you go. No, I am not a hater. I hate everyone equally. Don't worry. Lightweights. David Onama versus Mason Jones. Mason Jones is the dragon, in case you wondered. Onama just took this fight short notice. This will be his UFC debut. He last fought 2 weeks ago, October the 8th. He's 8-0 as a pro, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. Everything's been finished for him. He's an inch taller than Jones. I do not have any reach info for Onama, so I can't tell you who has the longer reach. He's at plus 380. Jones 10-1 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 0-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He also was a Cage Warriors champion. Used to fight at welterweight. This one's down at lightweight. He's at minus 550. First, do you know anything about Onama? And then tell us who your pick is. Mine's Jones, obviously.
Yeah, I saw Onama, you know, just 2 weeks ago. He was on that promotion you just mentioned, FAC, which is on Fight Pass, actually. And on that fight card, he looked pretty damn good. As a matter of fact, that was announced by dude who I really like, Justin Bricker, who you should hear listen to announced fights. So listen to FAC sometimes. He looked really good, and he continues to look really good. But the one thing you don't see from him is him facing anybody who can grapple with him. And he has a tendency when people faint to back up. So I think with Mason Jones being so crafty and so smart, he just faints a whole bunch of times until he gets David Onama to the back of the cage. And then you're going to see David Onama fighting a guy who grapples better than most people on the planet. And it's going to become really clear that David Onama has not fought anybody like that before.
And Mason Jones is good too, right?
He's so freaking good. Dude,
he's had bad luck in the UFC yet.
He's had real bad luck in the UFC. I mean, like, I actually had him winning that Mike Davis fight, and I stand by that pick originally. He was beating the piss out of Alan Patrick, who was supposed to fight him here, too, before Alan Patrick got poked in the eye and wanted no part of continuing because he was getting beat up real bad. So, yeah, I mean, like, I'm still in on Mason Jones, who, by the way, has also been on the Top Turtle MMA podcast,
God.
As is Tabitha Ricci, which is we're currently at exactly one fight, just Lariana Staropoli and Jamie Pickett, where I haven't interviewed at least one of them.
Man, I'm picking so many of them. I don't think you've interviewed either of our prelim main eventers, middleweights, Jun Young Park and Gregory Rodriguez. I don't know if either of them actually speak English, so I don't think you've had either of them on.
Gregory Rodriguez does. Yeah. Does yeah, Alex Bethuen, who I listen to his interviews once in a while, has regularly has him on.
Okay, good. He's known as, not that I care, not that English is better. Don't everyone get mad at me. I said good, but I don't care what language you speak. Just don't speak to me in any language whatsoever, please. Because we don't like people. Dan doesn't either, right, Dan?
No, I don't like people.
Exactly. All right. But Rodriguez is not a person. He's a RoboCop. So maybe and Park isn't a person either. He's an Iron Turtle. So maybe we can hang out with these people. Rodriguez also looks like Obama, which I've seen him doing lots of stuff of on Twitter and whatnot. This is basically a pick'em fight. Let's tell you about Rodriguez first. The RoboCop, 10-3, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. Very, very balanced. He's been knocked out himself twice, so 2 out of 3 losses have come via knockout. 1-0 in the UFC. That's part of a 3-fight winning streak he's currently on. He's 0-1 on the Contender Series. He also was an LFA champion back in the day. He's 5 inches taller than Park, 2 inches of reach, striking and active striking stats in the favor, -110. The Iron Turtle is 13-4 with 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been subbed twice, so half of his losses have come via submission. 3-1 in the UFC. He dropped his debut and then has won 3 straight. He was the Yawara champ. Have you ever watched Yawara?
I have not. No.
I think it's probably in Korea, I'm guessing. He used to fight at welterweight. He's got the grappling stats in his favor, -118. So how do you break – this is one of the fights I have. I have a pick, but it's a question mark beside us. Let's hear you break it down first, Dan.
This is 1,000% the toughest fight on this whole card to pick.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception of the craziness around the main event, Jong-Yong Park has looked really good in his takedowns as of late, especially when he was tripping Tevan Chukwi, like, pretty much at will. But Chukwi kept entering that clinch and, like, asking him to do it. So, like – I don't know how much you can take from that. And Gregory Rodriguez is supposedly supposed to have really good wrestling and jiu-jitsu, but he didn't necessarily use that as much as I would have liked him to against Dusko Todorovic. He seems to wind up liking striking. I think he's probably a better power striker than Jong-Yong Park, but like Park is probably a better technical striker and more likely to win a decision there. So it's a very weird fight to break down. Ultimately, the way I'm going with it is I'm going to take the Iron Turtle, Jong-Yong Park. I'm going to take him because I think his wrestling might play up a little bit higher than people realize. I think he might find himself in better positions. And regardless of whether or not I think he does better in the wrestling early on, I think ultimately he's got the better gas tank, and the exchanges early I think are really going to tire Gregory Rodriguez out to the point where I think he kind of has to get a finish early or not win.
All right, I'm taking Rodriguez, but yeah, this is a hard one to break down. He's got better striker, better size, and he's got the sub skills if he does find himself on his back. So let's do it. Like I said, it's pretty much a toss-up pick'em fight, and I think you might have said the title of the podcast in that breakdown, Trippin' Tevan Chukwi. I like how that sounds.
Trippin' Tevan Chukwi.
Yes, that's what you said. I like it. That's always like the biggest pressure on me while we're recording this is like hoping something is said that I can use as a title. So now I'm okay. First, Prediction Strike. Have you heard of it? Do you wish you could have had stock in a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Christian McCaffrey? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. It's like Robinhood or DraftKings had a baby. Prediction Strike lets fans create portfolios of their favorite athletes so they can make money and get even closer to the game. Don't just bet on your favorite players, start investing in them. Simply download Prediction Strike's new and easy-to-use app from the App Store or sign up at PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Use promo code SGPNMMA. Then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players, just like you would real stocks. The value of players would change based upon game performance and supply and demand, and you can trade your shares of players at any time, as long as the player isn't currently in the game. Sign up with the promo code SGPNMMA to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. Dan wrote an article on how to play. It's on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com network if you want to search for it. Also, if you're in our Slack, go into our general channel on Slack today, and everyone is talking about Prediction Strike right now because everybody is in playing it and trying to figure out the best way to make money on it. So check that out. Also, if you download the apps and you haven't already, download the SGPN app. We are now live in the App Store and Google Play. We give you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And if you could give us an amazing app review, that would help out also. All right, let's go to the main card. Ad-free, as we like to do it around here. All right, light heavyweights. Nogumaranu, right. Versus Ike Villanueva. I know how to say that one. Hurricane Ike versus Nick. You can call Nikolai Nick. I'll just call him Nick. That's a great nickname. It's kind of a pun. Also, nickname. Ha ha. Hurricane Ike, 18-12 with 15 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself 6 times, and he's been subbed 5 times. So he's only once gone to the decision and lost. He's 1-3 in the UFC. He lost via KO his last fight. He used to be a heavyweight. He also used to be a middleweight. He was the Fury FC champ. I'm sure you've watched Fury FC, right?
Yeah, a bunch of times. They've gotten really good lately.
There you go. He was 1-0 in Bellator. I've never heard of that. I think that's a fighting organization also, though.
Yeah, it is.
Dan's probably watched it.
I can confirm that.
You've watched it before?
Once or twice.
Okay. He's an inch taller. The Nick, striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor, plus 190. Nick is 10-1, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 1-1 in the UFC, won his last fight, 5 inches of reach, 10 years younger than Hurricane Ike, minus 271. Chalk for me, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nogumaranu. I was originally very low on him for his loss to Sabarabek Safarov, but yep. The bottom line is like if you look at how he looked in that Alexa Kamer fight, it gave me a lot of faith in him. I think there's still a lot of questions around him, and there's some things that are maybe not all that good. But I do think, you know, while I really love Ike Villanueva, he's also been on the Top Turtle on the podcast. While I really like Ike Villanueva as a person, I think kind of like he's a really late bloomer in the MMA world. He's kind of like figuring it out late, and as a result, he's kind of a lot slower than the guys he's fighting, and I think that's going to be a huge issue here.
Yep. 10 years younger is one of the keys, too. You don't usually see a guy 10 years older than another guy win a fight. That was like the old guy in the contender series last night. 39-year-olds don't tend to win a heck of a lot of fights. All right. So we had another – people probably wonder why we're talking about Top Turtle if they haven't listened before. Dan hosts the Top Turtle MMA podcast, and he interviews a lot of these people. So that's why we're mentioning it. And it's for a while there, we thought it was a jinx to be on Top Turtle, but I think so many people have been on it now, it's not really a jinx anymore. I think we've decided. So it may cause your insides to fall out or you to get in a car accident. But other than that, I think you're okay. If you make it to the cage, I think you're cool. Welterweights, Dwight Grant, Francisco Trinado. Have you had either of these people on your podcast?
No, I don't think either of those two. Nope.
Trinado, Dan just crapped all over him earlier, and he's on the fight card here. So we got the Body Snatcher, that's Grant's name, and Masaranduba is Trinado, which is a type of tree. Yeah. I know my stuff, Dan. I remember we've broken him down already.
Yeah,
we've been doing this.
We talked about that tree for like a good
We've done so many episodes now. Like a lot of these people are coming through the second or third time already that we're breaking them down.
And
so
now you're a nickname expert.
Exactly. I'm a nickname Nabber also. All right, the Body Snatcher we'll do first. He's 11-3, 7 knockouts, 3-2 in the UFC. He's gone win, loss, win over his last 3 fights. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator, 4 inches of height, 6 inches of reach, 6 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor, plus 100. The tree man, Masaranduba, is 26-8, 9 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been subbed 3 times, 16-7 in the UFC. 3-1 over his last 4 fights. He lost his last fight. He was on a 3-fight win streak. He used to be at lightweight, but then he was having trouble making weight, and so now he's up at welterweight. He was the Jungle Fight champ, which I'm sure Dan's watched plenty of. He was 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He also was a pro kickboxer. He's at minus 130. Oh, I'll go with the even money. I'll take the plus money on the younger, bigger, better striker in Grant.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dwight Grant, too. I'm not super confident in it, but here's why I'm not super confident and why I'm going to, like, shy away from actually betting this fight is that you can't predict what Francisco Trinado is going to show up. That dude is such an anomaly. Sometimes he's active, sometimes he's not active. Like, he's never had power punching, and then suddenly he knocked Jai Herbert, like, absolutely stiff. So, like, I hate thinking about Francisco Trinaldo fights. And Dwight Grant's not like an easy pick either. Like he's been kind of back and forth. Although granted, his loss, most recent loss, is to Daniel Rodriguez. So certainly no shame in that. And I'm not really sure he won that fight with Alan Joban either. But like those are at least good guys to be having a tough time with. So yeah, I do like Dwight Grant here. I think he probably touches him up on the feet from distance, and we just see, like, especially if we see a complacent Francisco Trinaldo.
All righty, moving on. Featherweights. Alex Caceres, Sungwoo Choi in a featherweight fight, as I said. So we got Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres versus Sting is Choi's nickname. We haven't been really voting on nicknames this episode, but obviously Bruce Leroy is going to win this one.
One of the greatest nicknames ever.
Yes. He's been in the UFC for a very long time. I was breaking down going through all his old fights to figure out his pay for the MMA-manifesto.com website. He's fought so many guys I never heard of or I don't remember at this point. It's crazy. I'm sure you remember them all, but there's a lot of guys.
Throw me one name.
All right. Let's go. A lot of I'm gonna find
and I'll
one
see
with
if
no
I can
Wikipedia.
Tell you, I yeah, see if too. I can tell you something about him.
All right. He's been in the UFC since 2011.
Yeah, when he was on the Ultimate Fighter with Savak Makhachkali and Michael Johnson and Kaya Watts.
Yep. There you go. See, so it may be hard to stump down. Okay, the first name that I didn't recognize was from 2012, Motonobu Tezuka.
He was that Japanese fighter who had like pretty good wrestling, and it turned out that he couldn't do anything if he couldn't get you to the ground. He was like completely incompetent.
Amazing.
But like he had like I want to say he had like. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you'll be able to, like, click things. I think he had, like, 20 wins when he came to the UFC from all kinds of weird Japanese regional fights. Probably, like, Shudo Brazil or Shudo Japan a whole bunch of times. But he was actually pretty terrible.
No, I can't click because he does not have a Wikipedia page. Maceo Fullen. I remember the name, but I don't
remember. Maceo Fullen was on – he was on the first Latin American Ultimate Fighter. And he was –
comes back to it.
And he just fought on some regional fight card, like, the other day that I was going to watch and then I didn't watch, and he was the co-main event. God, what was that card? I'm going to look that up. But anyway, back to Bruce Leroy. We're off on a tangent.
All right. Let's go back to Bruce Lee. So Dan obviously knows all these people. Let's break down Leroy first. He's 18-12 with one no contest. He's got 3 knockouts, 6 submissions, so half of his wins have come via finish. He's been subbed 7 times in his career. Shouldn't be an issue here because Choi hasn't won via submission ever. He's won 4 straight fights, 5-1 over his last 6. He was 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Because it all comes back to the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at bantamweight. Usually he fights at featherweight, though, so this is his normal class. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, plus 240. Choi, 10-3 with 6 knockouts, 3-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights after dropping his first 2. What else could I tell you? He won via TKO his last fight. He was top FC champ. Have you watched Top FC in Korea, Dan?
I have not watched Top FC, but I do know of Top FC.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
It's like the one that people come from.
Right. He also used to be a bantamweight. He also was a Muay Thai champion. He's 2 inches taller than Caceres, 1 inch reach, 4 years younger, minus 334. I want to take Caceres at that massive number, but I don't know. Choi's pretty good, right? Or he has been at least the past few fights.
Choi's good, but if you're forcing me to put $100 on this fight, I'm putting it on Caceres. I'm not
good. That's where I was leaning.
I'm not Let's putting it on Sungwoo Choi. And I don't get me wrong. I actually think like the gun to your head pick here is Sungwoo Choi, but like Caceres at that number is absurd. The guy has shown time and time again that he can fight really good dudes and just like use his distance and his range and beat them. Like people thought Kevin Kroom had a chance to beat over. He was a dog against Chase Hooper. I think he was a dog against Steven Peterson. And look, the only dude he's lost to in the last 3-plus years is Kron Gracie. And Sungwoo Choi isn't going to fight a Kron Gracie looking kind of fight. So yeah, I don't love Alex Caceres, but at that number, I love him. And by the way, before I let us move on to this next fight, which is a really fun one, Maceo Fullen was supposed to be the co-main event of Lux Fight League this past weekend, which I was going to watch. It's a really fun Mexican promotion. He was going to be the co-main event, much like I had said earlier. However, he had to pull out with an injury.
Wow.
That's on Fight Pass, by the way, now. So Lux Fight League, easy to get your eyes on. A lot of fun dudes in it.
All right. If you say so. So, yeah, we're both going with the big underdog here. All right. Moving on. This will be fun. We got some big dogs this weekend. Women's bantamweight, Jessica Rose Clark versus Joseline Edwards. We got Jesse Jess versus La Pantera. La Pantera is 10. That would be Edwards. It's 10-3, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. 1-1 in the UFC. She lost her last fight after winning her. It was a short notice debut she won, right? I think I remember.
Yeah, she beat Yanan Wu on short
right.
notice.
Yes. Yeah. She's 3 inches taller, 6 inches of reach, 8 years younger, plus 120. Jesse Jess is 10-6, 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-2 in the UFC. She's only won 1 of her last 2, and that was her last fight. She won via TKO. That was way back September 2020 because she tore her ACL during that fight, and she's been out ever since. 0-2 in Invicta. Used to fight at flyweight. What did I say? This is strawweight. Yeah. Strawweight. Bantamweight, I'm sorry.
Can't be strawweight. Yes. Jesus.
Man, no.
Jesse just made strawweight. I'd be very surprised.
No, this is at bantamweight. She's up a class. She's missed weight in the past, which is why this is at bantamweight, I'm sure. She was a champ of a couple regional Australian promotions before the UFC. She's a more active striker. Grappling stats are in favor, minus 150. I got a question mark beside my pick this one, too, Dan. So let's hear what you have to say.
I'm going to go in this one. I'm going to go with Jesse Jess.
Yeah, that's what I was leaning towards. Yeah.
I will say this. I do like La Pantera. I've been really impressed with her. I loved her short notice win, and I actually picked her to win her second fight after that, in which she looked not good against Carol Rosa. And that's part of, Carol Rosa is so good. So it's hard to, write her off on that. But, Yanan Wu is not particularly good, and Joseline Edwards shot a ton of takedowns and didn't get any of them. She wound up piling it on with the strikes, but I think ultimately, Jesse Rose Clark is going to out-physical her, and I think she's actually probably a better striker, too. So, yeah, I like Jessica Rose Clark in this one.
All right, Jesse Jess, we're backing you. Hopefully there's no rust from the time off due to the knee injury. All right. Brings us to the co-main event, lightweights, Grant Dawson versus Rick Glenn. You can call him Ricky, too, if you want. Dawson's KGD is his nickname, and Glenn is the Gladiator. All right, Rick Glenn, 22-6-1, 13 knockouts, 3 submissions, 4-3 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win over the last – we haven't had a bunch of those this time, but that was over his last 4 fights. He won his last fight via knockout. He was also in World Series of Fighting where he went 4-1 and was their champion. He used to fight at – featherweight. He's missed weight before. This is a short notice fight for him. 2 inches taller, more active striker of the two guys. He's at plus 290. KGD, 17-1, 4 knockouts, 11 submissions, 5-0 in the UFC. He won via knockout his last fight, 1-0 in the contender series. He used to fight at 145 also. He's also missed weight. 2 inches of reach, 5 years younger, grappling stats in his favor, minus 400. I don't like minus 400, but I'll take Dawson, please.
I like minus 400 before it turns into negative 650 because I think by fight time that's where it'll be. Grant Dawson is wet. So just to give context to this fight and why it's not a good one to even think about taking an underdog here is that Grant Dawson was supposed to fight Carlos Diego Fajeda, who is a ranked lightweight, and he was going to be the favorite in that fight. That's enough to say he's going to fight Rick Glenn, who's mostly a kickboxer and is going to be absolutely schooled on the ground. Dude, you got to go with Grant Dawson. Grant Dawson is just going to roll as easy as possible. And I'll also say this, we don't usually do daily fantasy breakdowns in here. If you are playing daily fantasy and you do not have Grant Dawson in your lineup, there's literally something wrong with your brain.
Wow. I usually do the daily fantasy for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So I'll have to remember that when I publish my article Friday morning.
Because if you don't have him in there, I'll tell you there's something wrong with your brain.
He's probably super expensive. He's probably too expensive, though. We'll see. All right, main event, middleweights. We'll say it's contracted at middleweight currently, but we'll see where they end up. Like I said before, I say Vittori. Vittori is saying he'll fight him in any weight.
Vittori just said, while we've been recording, said he'll fight him at 205. Not even 195, 205. Yeah, why are you too stupid to force him to cut a little bit of weight?
Because he's angry Marvin. That's why. He's angry Marvin, and Paulo has called him out saying if he doesn't accept a fight with me now, it's just because he doesn't want to fight me. He's scared to fight me. So he knows what buttons to push. Angry Marvin would be like, I'm not scared. I'll show you. I'll fight you at 220. So anyhow, it's dumb. Get an advantage. Make him cut weight for the next 2 days. Anywho, is this going to change your pick at all before we break it down?
No, I was pretty sure about my pick, and I think maybe I'm even more sure about my pick now.
Okay. All right, we got Borachina is Costa, the Eraser, and versus the Italian Dream, but we call him Angry Marvin. Paulo Costa, 13-1, 11 knockouts, 1 submission. 5-1 in the UFC, that one would be the Tijio loss would be his last fight against the champ, Izzy Adesanya. That was way back of September 2020, but he drank a whole bottle of wine before that, so it doesn't count. He was 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He was a Jungle Fight champ. I guess he wasn't drinking wine then. Is that why he got to win Jungle Fight? Or maybe
because it was Jungle Fight.
Yeah, exactly. It was Jungle Fight. You can drink whatever you want. He's 1.5 times more active striking. He's at plus 130. The Italian Dream, 17-5-1, 2 knockouts, 9 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 7-5-1 in the UFC. He lost his last fight via decision. He's 5-1 over his last 6. He used to be a welterweight, which is why you don't take a fight at light heavyweight if you don't have to. Anyhow, he was the Venator Fighting Championship champ. Have you watched that before?
Yeah, Venator was that really fun Italian
Italy,
promotion.
Right?
Yeah, which had that's where we got Emil Weber Meek. Came to us by there after he knocked out Husamal Paharis.
Yes, correct. All right. 2 inches of reach, 2 years younger, grappling stats in the favor, minus 162. I'm going Vittori. I don't like this weight stuff. It makes me pause a bit, but I'll stick with Vittori here. I think he'll be more active, and he's far more diverse of a fighter and never been finished in a fight, and Costa pretty much has to finish you to pretty much has to turn your lights out to win a fight. So, and I don't like where Costa's headspace is either, so. Vittori is my pick.
Well, I told you that this weight-cutting shenanigans makes me even more confident with my pick. And it does. And I'm going to take Paulo Costa because it makes me more confident in Paulo Costa. Because for two reasons. Number one, a fight at 205 here, 1,000% favors Paulo Costa. He's got way more punching power than Marvin Vittori. Way stronger than Marvin Vittori. And what does Marvin Vittori rely on? Takedowns, right? Like, and you're right. Is he more diverse? He 100% is more diverse because he can take down and he can strike. But what happened when he tried to strike with Kevin Holland? It was not a good time for him. Kevin Holland pieced him up a little bit. Not in like a serious way because he wasn't on the feet for more than 3 seconds. But like when he was on the feet, he pieced him up. And I think if Vittori tries to get in the face of Costa here, Costa is going to smoke him, especially if you're telling me Costa is now not going to have to cut weight and Costa is going to have the extra punching power. You're right. Vittori is not often finished, but there's a first time
for
everything. There's a first time for everything. And let me tell you something. Paulo Costa hits like a truck and – not for anything. Like, real quick, look back to his takedown defense. I think people sleep on his takedown defense, too. He stuffed Yoel Romero, notable wrestler, 3 out of 4 times. So, I'm going to go with Paulo Costa. I'm going to take another dog here. And I think a Paulo Costa finish prop sounds like the best way to kick off props.
Yeah, no, it's a tough one. The weight. You always were going Costa, even when
I was always going Costa, even before all of this. Like, I think his takedown defense holds up, and I was really worried about what I saw from Marvin Vittori in his striking with Kevin Holland. Like, not that Kevin Holland's not a good striker, but, like, all he had to worry about was the striking, and it still didn't go well for him.
I'm going to go with the anger, going to win the fight for Marvin Vittori, so... this is by no means going to be my lock pick of the week, that's for sure. All right, a super fan, Jong's got a question. He's wondering on an all-Korean parlay. Are you down with an all-Korean parlay on this fight card? So that would be Sungwoo Choi and Jun Young Park.
I think Sungwoo Choi is – so if you are looking for the people who are parlay busters – Sungwoo Choi has got that written all over him. He's a big fat number who isn't going to help your parlay out very much at all. And we just both picked Alex Caceres, not even necessarily because we don't think Sungwoo Choi is a better fighter or even has the higher probability to win. But we're talking about this fight being really close to a coin flip. So why are you going to add a guy to your parlay at damn near negative 300 that could really bust up a whole lot of your numbers. So while I appreciate the all one country move we're going to go with, or that you might want to go with, I'm in on Jonghyun Park. Jonghyun Park was originally one of my picks. I just can't get behind putting Sungwoo Choi anywhere near the numbers he is currently at in anything that would bust a parlay.
All right, there you go, Jung. Don't do it. Hopefully you haven't done it already. All right.
He's done it already. He's 1,000% done it already.
All right, instead of that, let's give our listeners and Jung some smart parlays to do, Dan.
Well,
or props if you want to.
Yeah, so we'll hit the props real quick first because, I said I do like Paulo Costa by finish because I think if he wins that fight, he's probably not going to win a decision. You can get that at, like, plus 275 right now in a couple of books. Apart from that, I'm not really seeing a lot of props I like, mostly because some of them are not on the board yet. Like, I would really like, Mason Jones first round, but I don't see numbers out there yet. Him inside the distance alone is -150. But I think he probably comes out and like puts on gets a quick takedown and ground and pound finishes. So him inside the distance right now, -150. So I got to imagine if you're getting him in the first round, you're getting like a big plus number next to a guy who's, like a -500 favorite. So I like that for Mason Jones. Apart from that, like I like a lot of like goes to distance props in this one.
Are you Yanni or something? Are you Yanni the Greek?
It was. I'm definitely not Yanni the Greek. You've maybe never said anything more offensive to me in my whole time here. No, I'll take. Here's another one I like. I like Lariana Staropoli to win by TKO. Staropoli by TKO is 425. Like, if you're looking for a fun D-gen play, Staropoli, a -230 favorite, up against the guy who gets knocked out and he's got a good counter. So, grab Staropoli, -425. And then, of course, you want my patented weekly, 10-1 odds kind of move.
Yes.
Which I think in this one is going to be a lot easier because there's a lot of really good dogs on here. So the first one I'm going to start the parlay off on is Lavia Souza. Like, she should be the first person you click for every single parlay that you're going to put together because her at, like, that -125 mark is just silly. So I'm going to put her with – I like Daniel Lacerda. I mentioned before I like Daniel Lacerda. And at a plus number, that's going to look even better. We can throw Staropoli in there, -230. And I like the newcomer who we just talked about. We thought he was going to come in a plus number, Lazashvili. But we'll throw him in there as well. And who else do I got to add in order to make this work? Mm-hmm. Oh, Grant Dawson will do it. So Souza, Lacerda, Staropoli, Lazashvili, and Dawson gives you exactly 10-1. It actually is +1,003 according to my parlay calculator today. So that'll be my five for you guys who are looking for the big 10-1.
And they always are. All right. Is it me for locks this week or is it you? Who's first?
I don't remember, but you go ahead because I got a bunch that I
all right. Good. I'm taking Souza -139. Livia Renata Souza, please and thank you.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best one on there. And I'll take Staropoli. Yeah. Like, Staropoli is a big number, but there's a reason he's in my parlay is because he's going to win that fight.
Parlay to play is what we should say, Dan.
you love working the top turtle references in there.
I do.
I don't think there's enough crossover to make those references really hit home. No. Although maybe this is a good advertisement. Everybody should listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast.
You should. Who's this on this week, Dan?
This week I'm talking to Dwight Grant about his late replacement and trying to win his sixth in a row. And then Tabitha Ricci talks a little bit about how she got into MMA in the first place.
And I picked both those people. Great. I am in trouble. You also can listen to his Prelim Primer podcast. Prelim Primer podcast. Have you recorded that one yet? Was that
I have.
Also?
I have. That came in a little bit earlier. Frequent guest. And if you've listened to every episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast, which you should have, you might recognize the voice there as well. Kurt Chase Patrick, frequent fill-in for when Jeff goes on his vacations.
KCP.
Is there to break down the prelims for you and hear a lot of you can hear if he agrees with me on some things.
Good. That's good to hear. All right. So make sure you listen to those. Make sure you read our stuff on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'll have a write-up on this event will drop on Thursday, and then Friday I'll have the DraftKings DFS picks for this week, and I better have Grant Dawson or Dan's going to belittle me.
That's correct, yes.
Correct, belittle. And follow us on Twitter so you can watch the belittling. That's a fun word to say, belittling happen
that,
live.
That could be an episode title, too, the belittling.
That's basically what most episodes are after one guy beats the other. All right, we're at Twitter. Jeff Fox, writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. SportsGamblingPodcast.com, told you that. Oh, MMA-Manifesto.com if you want our MMA content. And get in on the Pick'em contest they're on there. And subscribe to our feed. We've already said that, MMA Gambling Podcast feed, and get in our Slack channel. We'll surely be betting or talking about our bets come Saturday when the fights kick off. So maybe we'll even, haven't talked any Bellator. Bellator has, Fedor's fighting this week, and we haven't said one word about Bellator. We didn't even talk about last weekend's event. So take that, Bellator. Remember, Fedor, that used to be like such an exciting thing when he was fighting. That was
now he's fighting Tim Johnson.
Yep. Now he's going to get beat by Tim Johnson in Russia. So, do you want whose turn is it to take us home?
It's yours. I called you Tina Black.
Oh
Sunday.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am Tina Black. He is the Danimal, Daniel Vreeland, and we will be back on Sunday. Goodbye.